Welcome to Discover Life's live stream. I'm so incredibly happy that you joined us today. Before we jump into our study this morning, I'd like to pray together. So let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for this day of life. We thank you for your goodness and love. Father, today we want to lift up our world. We are deeply concerned for the state of the world. God, we pray that in place of suffering and death, there would be life and hope and joy. Dear God, we want to pray for our hospitals around this country and around this world that are working so tirelessly to protect the sick, to heal the sick. Father, we just pray that you would put an end to this suffering. And God, we thank you for your love and your goodness. And today, as we spend some time thinking about you, may your spirit bless us and teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. And today we're going to talk about the will of God and bad things. Often when bad things happen, people blame it on God. They say that, well, it's just God's will. Or they'll blame it on fate or destiny, or they'll blame it on the universe. And there are kind of secular versions of this, and there are religious versions of this. The secular version kind of works like this. It says that all there is in the universe is matter and motion, and when matter and motion work together based on the laws of physics and chemistry, things happen. And so that literally everything that happens on the planet is a result of matter, motion, and the laws of physics and chemistry. So it works like this. You have matter, and that matter is in motion, obeying the laws of physics and chemistry. And that's what causes brains to work. That's what causes viruses to work. That's what causes everything to work. And so all that really exists in the secular version is matter and motion. And so this idea is actually highly deterministic, in that really nobody is making any choice. Everything that is happening is just happening as the laws of physics and chemistry dictate. Now, the non-Christian but kind of almost God-based version of it just says that there's fate or destiny. And this is seen in some people's thinking, whether it's when bad things happen, well, it's going to happen. I'm going to die when I die. It's just going to happen that way. Or it's also seen sometimes when good things happen, right? So this particular person is my soulmate. That imagines that there's this sort of divine plan that determines an outcome. You see the same thing in Christianity. Many Christians, in fact, I remember when my grandfather died, as a child, it was very difficult for my mother in her spiritual experience because her church basically told her, well, this is just God's will, and you should be happy about it. You should just, you know, that's just the way it is. It was God's will. And I remember they even told her this terrible story about a woman who lost several children, one after the other, to death, and that she celebrated it as the will of God. And I got news for you, friends. Whether you accept the secular version of the universe being in control by the laws of matter, by the laws of chemistry and physics, or if you accept just sort of a deistic, well, the universe did it, fate did it, destiny did it, or if you accept a Christian version where God is on the throne, literally controlling every event of history, I got news for you. All three of those to me are untrue. All three of those are frankly disgusting. And I think all three of those are also fundamentally hopeless. Now, the way the Christian God works is that he is a God of love. And I want to just put that text up on the screen. The Bible says in the book of 1 John, chapter 4, verse 8, it's 1 John 4:8 makes a simple statement. Everyone who loves has been born of God. Whoever does not love does not know God. And then it gives this, because, and then these three simple words, God is love. God is love. At the most fundamental level, God is love. Now, what does this have to do with determinism? What does this have to do with God controlling every event? What does this have to do with God being in charge of and causing evil things to happen? And the answer is this: if God is love, love by definition is not deterministic. Love by definition does not mandate. Love by definition requires freedom. I think often of when I first approached my wife, Becky, about a relationship. And I expressed interest in her. And her response was, yeah, not interested. I'm not interested in you at all. Now, if I would have pulled out a gun and pointed it at her and said, hey, are you interested in me now? That wouldn't have helped the circumstance, because love, in order to be love, must be free. The idea that the Christian God is a God of love means that God, by definition, cannot control the universe, that God, by definition, does not control the universe, because a God of love must give freedom. And in fact, that's exactly what we see in the beginning when God creates. When God creates in the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, in verse 26 and 27, God makes mankind. You can see God is speaking, and he says, let, and I want you to notice, God says, let us make mankind in our image. God, from the very beginning, is a plurality. He's a plurality of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our image. Again, you can see that plurality there. God is love. Love requires an object to love. God is a relational plural from the beginning. Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. Again, God is a relational plural that makes humanity in his image. Notice there in verse 27, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. The plurality of humanity, male and female, seen in creation, is designed to express the unique plurality of the divine. God is a Trinity, and he made humanity in his image, and God made us in his image, which means he made us to love and be loved, and that means that we are free. Free to do good and free to do bad. In fact, in Galatians chapter 5, the Bible tells us why that we are to use our freedom. We are to use our freedom for good. Notice what it says, Galatians 5, verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Check this out. God made humanity in his image. He made us free to love and be loved. We were created to be free. God made us to be free. He wants us to be free. but he doesn't want us to use our freedom to indulge the flesh. That means to do evil. He wants us to use our freedom to serve one another humbly in love. My friends, I want you to follow the basic idea that we hear all the time. Destiny did it. Fate did it. God did it. Is completely at odds with the fundamental idea of who God is. God is love. And if God is love, then, and we are made in his image, we were made for love, which requires that we were made for freedom. And freedom is, the misuse of freedom is actually the source of suffering. God didn't do it. Destiny didn't do it. Fate didn't do it. The universe didn't do it. The misuse of freedom did it. What do I mean by this? When we read the story in Genesis, Genesis 1, 2, and 3, God gave Adam and Eve freedom, freedom to say yes or no through the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Adam and Eve chose to misuse their freedom and unleash the destructive forces of sin on this planet. And today, when we misuse our freedom, we unleash destructive forces on our planet. And when others misuse their freedom, they unleash the destructive forces on our planet. And when those destructive forces are unleashed, there's no controlling them because they just go like dominoes, one after the other. Now, when we want to know what the will of God is, let me just say it this way. We should never tell anybody who's suffering, who's had a difficulty, that fate did it. We should never say that chance did it. We should never say that that determinism did it. We shouldn't say the universe did it. And we definitely shouldn't say God did it. God's will is never seen in suffering. God's will is seen. If we actually want to know what God's will is, God's will is seen actually in the book of Genesis. God's will is seen when he makes a good world in creation. Genesis chapter, we'll do it this way. In creation, the Bible says that God saw the light was good and he separated the light from darkness. God creates the dry ground and he calls the dry ground good. God produces the vegetation and the plants that create all the food. And the Bible says, and God saw that it was good. And then God creates the sun and the moon and the stars, and God says that it was good. And then God creates all the sea creatures and all the fish. And the Bible says that God saw that it was good. And he makes all of the livestock and all of the creatures, and God saw that it was good, verse 25. And in verse 31, God saw that everything that he made, and God looks at everything that he made, and it was very good. When we are asking ourselves, what is the will of God? We should go to Genesis chapter 1. And in Genesis 1, we see God make a good, 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 very good world with no pain, with no suffering, with no disease, with no heartache. That is God's will. And what we see here, it's not fate. It's not destiny. What we see here is not the universe. It's not that God has determined it. What we see here is an out-of-control world because humanity, rather than humbly serving one another in love, misused their freedom and unleashed the forces of destruction. Now, here's the incredible good news. Here's the incredible good news. The Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 10, and I'll share my screen with you here. John 10:10. Jesus says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus came to begin the restoration process. He came to restore to humanity what he created us for. And someday very soon, according to Revelation, someday soon, God will come and make a new heaven and a new earth. And the first heaven and the first earth have passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I know a lot of us like the ocean. John was on an island prison, so having no more sea means he was no longer in prison. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. In Genesis chapter 1, we see the will of God, a good world, a very good world, filled with love and freedom. And we see that good world go bad, not because of God, not because of destiny, not because of fate. We see a good world go bad because freedom was misused and brought destruction. And then we see Jesus, who came to bring life and order back to the chaos and destruction. We see Jesus, who promises that someday he will come again and wipe every tear from our eyes, that someday there will be no more death because through his resurrection, he conquered death, that someday there will be no more mourning or crying or pain because the way the world is now has passed away and it's been replaced with something better, something like what he created the world to be like in the beginning. I love how this text goes on. It says, he who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. My friends, please, please, when you see the pain and the suffering and the death, please don't blame it on God. Don't blame it on fate. Don't blame it on the universe. Don't blame it on destiny. Blame it on the one thing that caused it all, the misuse of freedom, the destruction that it unleashed. And when you see the good, when you have the joy of holding a baby or looking into your lover's eyes, when you have the joy of a good meal with friends, or you see the beauty of self-sacrificing love, when you see medical professionals without protective gear sacrificing to serve others, you're seeing glimpses of God's goodness. You're seeing glimpses of the way the world was supposed to be, a world where we use our freedom to humbly serve one another in love. Someday, Jesus will wipe every tear. Someday, there'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. Someday, all these things will pass away and everything will be new. And this isn't a fantasy. It's true. Someday, this will be the world we live in. Until that day, may God use us. May God use us to humbly serve one another in love. Let me pray with you. Dear God, we thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you're not a God of the Greek philosophers who determines everything. You're not the universe. You're not the source of fate or destiny. You're a God, a relational God of love who gave freedom, who made a good world. Father, may we never blame you again. May we trust your love and goodness. May we find hope in your compassion. May we find hope in all that you've done for us through Christ. And God, as we wait for the restoration of all things, when you make all things new, may you teach us to use our freedom for good. May you teach us to humbly serve one another in love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.